So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, chapter 13, which is entitled Rahugana Converses with Jadvara. And we're on text 6 today. We'll read the transliteration first so we know what we're chanting. Kvachit, sometimes. Vitoyaha, without depth to the water. Sharitaha, rivers. Abhiyati, he goes to bathe or jumps into. Parasparam, one another. Cha, and. Alashate, desires. Nirandaha, being with no stock of food. Asadya, experiencing. Davam, a forest fire in family life. Kvachit, sometimes. Agni taptaha, burned by fire. Nivijate, is despondent. Kwa, somewhere. Cha, and. Yakshai, by kings resembling rogues and thieves. Krita, taken away. Asuha, wealth, which is as dear as one's life. Kvachitito yaksharito biyati. Kvachit vito yaksharito biyati. Parasparam chalashate nirandaha. Parasparam chalashate nirandaha. Asadya davam kvachit agni takto. Asadya davam kvachit agni tapto. Nirvijyate kvacha yakshar ritasu. Nirvijyate kvacha yakshar ritasu. Kvachit pito yaksharito biyati. Parasparam chalashate nirandaha. Asadya davam kvachit agni tapto. Nirvijyate kvacha yakshar ritasu. Please chant. Vaishnavis.
Vaishnavis.
So translation, purport, my Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river, or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire, and sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as his life, plundered by kings in the name of heavy income taxes. When one is hot due to the scorching sun, one sometimes jumps into a river to gain relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable conditions. Sometimes his efforts get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. By such actions, he does not derive any benefit. He only breaks his bones. Sometimes, suffering from a shortage of food, one may go to a person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. Sometimes, one is stationed in household life, which is compared to a forest fire, samsara, dhava, another vida loka. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income. But despite this endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money anyway, and the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. Thus, people are trying to become happy within the material world, but this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one need go to a forest to set it ablaze. Fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently. They are obliged to serve someone for maintenance. It is said in the Shastras, Kalu Shudra Sambhavaha. In this age of Kali, everyone is dependent on another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as a Shudra. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Navrasya vinakshanti durviksha karapiditaha. In this age, there will be also a shortage of rain. Therefore, a scarcity of food will arise, and the citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. This way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their homes and hearth and go to the forest in sheer disappointment. Namaste, Saraswati Devi Guru Ramacharya. So we're still in the dark forest here. It's kind of a gruesome picture that Jad Bharat is giving to King Rahugana, but very factual indeed, as I think we can all admit. that there's really no relief in sight for all this distress. Nothing that I can see. If you open the newspapers, you'll hear of all these different things. You'll hear about household difficulties. You'll hear about a shortage of everything. Everything from water. Now you have to buy water. So many different scarcities are there. And then there's, you know, trying to get some charity, trying to get to some help. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, usually the help is worse than anything else. So it seems like there's no relief in sight. You can open a newspaper, and what do you hear? What do you see? Or open your computer, and what do you see? All these things in different colors. But in your local paper, you'll find it. In your national paper, you're going to find it all. And even globally, all these things are going on. No one can escape. Absolutely nobody. So who's to blame? Everyone's pointing a finger. It's your religion, right? It's your husband. It's your kids, right? So many different things. No, it's the insurance companies. It's the president, right? So many different blames we can point the finger at. But actually, we opted for this situation. Somehow or other, we got this brainy idea, being in the spiritual world, that we wanted to design a beautiful place where we could enjoy, where we could really be happy. We're hearing about all this so-called happiness here. And what did we get? We got the material world. And it's stamped that it's impossible here to enjoy because there's no Krishna. Prabhupada said that impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. Perfect, because we're all fools. And that word is there for us. Because it is. It's impossible for us to enjoy here as much as we try. So we can point the finger at everyone else, but it's actually our false ego and our problem. So Jad Bharat is seeing that this king also is having this false ego problem. So he's giving a very powerful presentation here. He's very tactful in how he's preaching. And luckily, he has a wonderful audience. Maharaj Rahuguna definitely has that big high position, and his false ego has flared up. But he's very easily, he can just like drops his shield so quickly. You know, he's getting chastised by his servant, but he has very big ears. He can hear and understands that he really needs this instruction. He actually can humble himself. This is like the dream for a Western preacher, if you can find somebody like this, that will actually listen to you, you know, that actually admits that maybe I don't know everything, that maybe I should listen. Because everyone walking around, especially in the Western countries, they have these big inflated bodies and tiny, tiny ears and nothing much in between, or else it's, like Prabhupada said, it's cow dung. So it's very hard to preach because of this situation, but it's a challenge. So that's good. But the one thing they do have, they have a big mouth. They can talk like crazy. So what we try to do, Lord Chaitanya's trick, his weapons are what? Put a sweet ball in the mouth, right? Give them prasadam, give them cookies. That's our main weapon in the West. And also try to get them to chant Hare Krishna. If nothing else, if they don't want the philosophy, and say, well, just can you say Hare Krishna for good luck? And usually they will, unless they're really demoniac. So there is hope because of Lord Chaitanya's benediction. This holy name of the Lord can be spread all over the world. There's really no qualification. Anyone can take part. And we find that being the most unqualified, somehow or other, we become qualified to get direct association with Krishna through this holy name, which is so powerful, they can actually begin to work on this huge inflated false ego that we have. So this picture that is being painted here by Jad Bharat seems very, very cruel and very, very dark, because it is. But if you flip back the pages of history, let's go back several thousand years ago, after the Battle of Kurukshetra, King Yudhishthira got good instructions by Bhishmadev, and then he got fired up, and he decided, I'm going to really make my kingdom first class, an ideal society. And so I'd like to show a little contrast from this description by reading just a couple verses of this wonderful kingdom that Yudhishthira created. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Because of the king's having no enemy, the living beings were not at all at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and active drugs in every season paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. The world was united, and the supreme head, being a trained king like Yudhishthira, kept all the inhabitants free from anxiety, diseases, and excessive heat and cold. They were not only economically well-to-do, but also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power, by enmity from other living beings, and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies. That's what we like to hear, not this deep, dark forest. So, it's quite a contrast, even in the 12th canto, it's describing a little bit here also, that it's showing this progression of Kali Yuga. Now, right after Krishna left the planet, then Kali Yuga set in. And it is, predictions are there in the 12th canto if you read it. And it gets gloomier and gloomier and darker and darker. And it seems like we're right on schedule, or maybe a little bit ahead of schedule, as you look around and hear these other descriptions in the newspapers. So, what to do? Individually, we're becoming very dysfunctional. And our society and our families, they're also dysfunctional. You hear of it all the time. And even in our nations, totally dysfunctional. They can't get along with one another, or within themselves, they can't. So everyone wants out. Everyone wants out of this situation. But where to go? Here in this purport at the very end, it says that they want to go to the forest. Now, if you go to the forest, it ends up to be a state park in the United States. And then you got to pay fees to get in. You got your RV with them blasting the TV next to you. And you get kicked out after a few days anyway. You can't stay there very long. So forest is not an option, at least in the West. And then maybe you can go to you find some forest somewhere and you go there, right? Then someone's going to knock on your tent and go, you're trespassing. Either they shoot you first because you're trespassing, or else they put you in jail. So there's really not a lot of escape for us. So what to do? So we have to find a shelter somewhere. And people are finding shelter. They find shelter in suicide, unfortunately. The rate of suicide, especially for men around 50 years of age, is extremely high. It's increasing all the time. Probably because they've worked their whole life and then they go, what for? What am I going to get out of this? So, but not only in the West, in India, it's all over the papers now that the farmers are committing suicide like crazy because all this, the GMO, and then you get your tractor and you think you're going to expand, and then you end up losing everything. Very, very common now. It's on the increase. And then maybe some of you Indian young men and women
understand the suicide rate that is so high because of the anxiety of education and the competition there. We were just at someone's home in South India, and their daughter was having to study, and he was telling us what they have to go to school every day of the week, and they have to pay for extra tutors, even if you don't need them, and because the competition is so tough. So suicide is there. But another escape. I have a book table at a college, and I'm there, and people come up and go, "Do you have any book about how to get rid of anxiety?" And then I'd be showing them all the different books, you know, real nice books. And someone else, while I'm talking to them, "Do you have a book on anxiety?" I couldn't believe it, you know. It's just like, and then they start talking about what medication they're on. And that's the next shelter, is intoxication. People, that's where they find their shelter. And it's really an ugly picture because of the addiction. It's not a pleasant thing. But now in America, believe it or not, they're legalizing marijuana. In many of the states, it's in the newspaper every day. Everyone's thinking about it. Everyone's thinking, yes. So where are we headed? Everyone's just going to be swimming in intoxication, trying to get out of the mess and making it worse for them. And then there's another shelter that everyone's taking, finding a new high-tech shelter, the virtual world, right? Everyone is in some other place that doesn't really exist much of the time, right? You know, all these games. I was just told a funny caption that someone saw. I think it's being spread around, that there a man had an untimely death and was killed. And so he was in a town, and the funeral ceremony was going on in a big church. And there were only two people in the church. One person turns to the other person behind him and goes, "I thought this man, he was so popular. He had over 1,000 friends on Facebook." So the virtual world, who are our friends? And what is real? Let's get real. But the reality is that everyone is unstable. And from this instability, what happens is that you get fear. And from fear, you get mistrust. No one trusts anybody else. And the Bhagavad Gita says that if you're not peaceful, then what happens? You're never going to be happy. So, Prabhupada also says, well, in this purport, he's describing the government, demon crazy, he called it, democracy. Also under this reign of King Yudhishthira, there was a comment that shows this. It says, "Therefore, in contrast with the modern, advanced, civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhishthira is by far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man." So you get what you pay for. You know, if you got a bunch of crazies, they're going to elect other crazies, obviously. So it really doesn't work. In our last presidential candidate campaign, it was promised by one of the candidates that change. Obama for change, change, change. And everyone's thinking, yes, finally a change. You know, let's get some fresh air in here. Of course, it didn't really happen. But there was some very intelligent second generation in our movement, very talented. And they rented a hall in Washington, D.C. during the end of the campaign. And it was called Chant for Change. And they packed it full. If they had had a bigger auditorium, they would have packed it even fuller. They got a bunch of Kirtaniyas, the greatest, the Mayapuris, everybody, and sold out. You know, people smashed in trying to get in the doors because that is the change. That is the shelter, the holy name. It does something, is real, because Krishna is real, and we're really part of him, and we need to get back to him like anything, and that's only our only source of real happiness. So Prabhupada also, he promised us, chant and be happy. And we have trust in that, because the results are there. This kirtan movement is sweeping our country, the United States. It's just catching on fire. We were just in Jagannath Puri for the retreat, and there was some yoga students there, and yoga teachers, and owners of yoga centers. And they were there because of kirtan. They wanted more kirtan. And they wanted the philosophy of the kirtan. They want to go back and able to tell their yoga students what real yoga is, where you can go with yoga. So it's not just, you know, a bunch of music. It's actually, it's taking effect. Their attraction for kirtan and music is now going deeper. And it's making them more attracted to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So it's a wonderful thing. But amazingly enough, people are still in illusion. They just don't see the light. It's such a heavy illusion. There's a wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Oh, fish-like soul, why have you fallen into the entangling nets of Maya? You have not understood that by being bound up by those nets, you will have to remain in this material world for a long, long time. After becoming a captive in Maya's snare, due to your desires for very insignificant enjoyments, you remain transformed in a spiritually diseased condition, punishable just like a disobedient servant. Now, by the power of devotional service, always remain subservient to Lord Krishna, swimming and frolicking freely in the nectarine ocean of Krishna Prema. So this net is extremely tight. And we have a tendency to be illusioned entirely. 99.9% of the population is totally under that illusion. But even within Krishna consciousness, we can be illusioned very easily. I have a very graphic story to tell you, which I was reminded when I was crossing over the Jalangi and Jamuna the other day. I mean, the Ganga. And I was a new devotee. 1975, we came to India. We were the dancing white elephants, and the Bengali ladies here in Mayapur, they were making fun of us because we didn't have all the ornaments and things that normally you have when you're in India to show that you're a householder. So they put on bangs, you gotta have the white things, you gotta have the red things, you have to have the ankle bells, you have to have the nose ring, you gotta have the red, you have to have the red here. And so I thought, my ego was thinking, I have to get Indianized. So I went and bought my bangles, which lasted about 10 minutes on my hands. And then I got ankle bells. The big ones, you know, lots of, tons of bells. Embarrassingly noisy, you know, I put them on. And the first day we decided to go to the Jalangi, and we're going to swim across the Jalangi to the other side. So I'm swimming, and my ankle bells are ringing, and I'm so Indianized. And all of a sudden, they get caught on a fisherman's net underneath the water. And you can't get it undone. I mean, first of all, I can't see. You're trying to keep up, and you're yanking at this and that. And I was thinking, it wasn't my nature. Why I'm thinking I need this, I need that. And so this is the subtle illusions that we can fall under. So we should also be very, very careful that we're not quite out of the forest yet. Although we have a lot of light, so be very careful. So there's not a lot of options for these conditioned souls that are lost here in the forest. You can just, you know, take the beating, suffer, work hard, suffer to maybe enjoy. Of course you won't. Or you can try to be which means you're cheated, in other words. There's the cheaters and the cheated. Otherwise, you can be a cheater. And that is the tendency of many, many people now. is to become that cheater. Try to beat the system, right? Hide your money, right? So you have to pay less income tax. So many different ways you can cheat. But what are you doing? You're compromising your better qualities of human civilized life, right? That's the compromise that you have to do. But it's very tempted. The circumstances are forcing us to become cheaters. Have you ever been to the store as a devotee and you have something maybe on the lower part of your cart and the person checkout doesn't see it and you're thinking, they don't see it down there, you know, and should you tell them that it's there or should you not? Right? Might save you, it's $80, right? So the devotee has to think, you know, well, hey, I get cheated all the time. They're making me pay way more than it's worth. So this atmosphere that we're in is forcing us to become beat up or cheaters or a cheater. Or else you can think, I'm just going to get on way above the whole system. I'm going to get a really good job. I'm going to go get my education. And what happens? You get $30,000, $40,000 debt for the rest of your life for all the financial aid that you had to get. And then what happens? Like it describes here. Can I have a job somewhere? Can I do anything? Can I bark, 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 right? You're a dog. You're begging for a job. And there's very, very few jobs in America. I don't know about anywhere else. So it's difficult. Even to maintain a family, right? Anybody have any difficulty maintaining a family? My mother plays bridge. It's this game that all it seems like just old people play. And I asked her last time I was with her, and I said she was trying to teach me bridge, which I didn't have any interest, but I had to do something with her. And she's 92 years old. So, and then she says, "Well, young people don't play anymore." And I said, well, how did you learn? She goes, well, your father, he had a very good job, and he maintained that I didn't have to work. Two people in the family didn't have to work. It was very degrading for him to think, or very, you know, demeaning if he had to have his wife work. And this was only 50 years ago that one person could maintain the family, but not now. You have to have everybody helping maintain the family. Very demeaning, as is shown here. Very embarrassing situation in this way. But Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he's made oases in this miserable situation. These temples, this process of chanting Hare Krishna is an oasis. And we find here the shelter that we're looking for because of the trust. We trust Srila Prabhupada. We trust the system, the process of sadhana. And we see that the process is simply a joyful. Kevala Nanda Kanda, as Lord Nityananda says. I mean, why go anywhere else? Why do anything else? That's why we're all here. We just had a girl come to our temple brand new, and I asked her what attracted her to come. And she said, I was just walking along the street. I had just gotten thrown out of my church class because I asked some questions that they couldn't answer, so they asked me to leave. And I was walking along, because I'm trying everything, you know, I need an answer. I need this escape. And she goes, I was just walking along, and I smelt this incense. And then I heard this beautiful sound. And she was happened to be going by the Baltimore Temple during a Sunday feast. And she walks in the door, and they go, please come in. Right? Please, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. So she just started rattling off her questions, and they just sat there. She got all her questions answered, and she got a nice Sunday feast. That's it, you know? So this process is the light. But wait a minute. We still have bills to pay. I got bills to pay. It's not solving that problem, right? Still divorce rates not too going too good in ISKCON, is it? There's still some family, there's still some burning going on in the system. And then I don't know about you, but I'm still worried that maybe my electricity is going to be turned off, that maybe there's not going to be any more juice in the current. Maybe there's not going to be any more gasoline to put in my car. Maybe there's not going to be any more water or air to breathe. Maybe the people from China can verify that. I heard it's, you have to wear something over your mouth. So there's still things going on, even for devotees, you know. But there's so much success in becoming a devotee. Our problems are minimized. Plus, our eyes are trained to become very spiritual so that we can see that this is Krishna's arrangement, right? He's helping us to let go of our attachments, to, you know, let go of that grip that we have. So we have that knowledge. We have that understanding. And we're so thankful for it, that we are progressing. We're getting out of this forest for once and all. We're not going to have to come back again. So this is the advantages of Krishna consciousness. And also the strength in numbers. You come to these big festivals, right? The more people that come to Mayapur, the more ecstatic the kirtan, the big melas, you know, big Rath Yatras. There is strength in numbers. And it's a wonderful way to develop relationships that will really help you. We need help to get out of this forest. Maharaj Rahugana, he had this false ego problem. So we do still have that false ego problem. We need that help. And Maharaj Rahugana was a setup. If anybody knows the game volleyball, you can go down there and watch it. They play it down there. Anyway, the idea is you get passed along, you know, and you try to get this really high position on the ball, and then the big guy on the team, as soon as it's set up, he smashes it down the throat on the other side. So Maharaj Rahugana had this false ego that I'm in such a high position, I'm temple president, I'm this, I'm that. You're just waiting to see that person being smashed. But in Krishna consciousness, the process, the relationships we have with the other devotees, is that we get gently passed. We get help from this person and that person. By association, we get help, more help, more help, to get rid of that false ego. Is every day there's an opportunity to take off another layer of that false ego. Just live in a temple for a while. You'll get a lot of opportunities to have your false ego smashed, right? Right, so just keep in association with devotees. That's what's important. So the ideal society is without all these egos and everything else. Ultimately, if we get passed around long enough, get enough good association, we'll be volleyed out across the net of illusion, and we'll fall on the lap of Krishna. And then we'll be there forever. We won't have to come back again. So this is our real shelter that we should be looking for, and we should be working for. To preach and to make an ideal society, to have Daivi Varnashram, that's a whole other 50% that we haven't even tackled yet, which we leave to all the younger people here in the room, because we're not going to have time to do it. Good luck. My blessings. Figure it out for yourself. so much to do. A lot of risks involved. And Prabhupada, he took so many risks to spread this wonderful, and to create this wonderful spiritual atmosphere that we're relishing right now. Jad Bharat, he took a great risk. Can you imagine going to your boss and saying, you so-and-so, you know, you just a this and a that and a that. You'll be out of there real fast if you don't get hit over the head. But he took that risk. Actually, he took out a sword. He was going to kill him, right? So we can take some risks. No time for retirement. We still, even the old guys here in the room, keep taking risks to spread this Krishna consciousness. We have to try our hardest to make this atmosphere of Krishna consciousness a model society for the whole world. Just like this Mayapur project. I remember when the letter came in 1971 and we read it, of Prabhupada's plan. And he said, if it's not done like this and like this and like this, and then not every single leader in the entire world is going to come here, is going to be so attracted to come here, then don't bother. That's what Prabhupada said. So now it's nice that you all are bothering and making this wonderful example for the world so the leaders can come. King Rahuganas can come and learn what their real position is, that actually we're just humble servants of our spiritual masters. And Srila Prabhupada is very kind to allow us to do some menial service here and contribute what we can to bring some light to this world. The golden avatar, the brilliance of the holy name, can change this world and make it the spiritual world. So maybe someone has something they can add to it, or maybe some questions before the brilliant darshan of, I heard that is supposed to be yellow, yellow, yellow. Right. Yes?
Thank you for your wonderful lecture. You were saying that there is the problem of maintenance is always there, to maintain oneself, yeah? So I was reading the other day, because sometimes I worry about maintenance. Although some years ago, I had this experience that, okay, we had no money, a big house to pay, and no money. And then I told Krishna, I will never worry again because I can't do this. So you do it for me. And, a miracle happened and we got money and so on. So, but sometimes I worry again about money. And then I read in Queen Kunti's teachings that you don't need to worry about money, you just serve Krishna and everything will be solved. So how should I understand
just
this?
Maintain that attitude. Krishna will take care of it. He promises how many times in the Bhagavad Gita that my devotee will never perish, that I'll take care of him, what less everybody else he's helping. But he takes special care of us. I can tell you many incidences of myself not having to worry so much, because I know somehow or other, if I just keep serving, then Krishna will give me what is due. So just maintain that attitude. And see, you're already free of anxiety. Back there.
Was an Indian boy. And the grandfather was a merchant, cloth merchant. And it must have been around the turn of the century, actually. He made a caravan to go from Chennai, Madras, to Hyderabad to sell his goods. So on the road, his caravan was attacked by dacoits, gundas. And they were killing people and the servants were running away. Ultimately, they came to him, pushed him down, and he was praying, to his family deity, that, oh my dear Lord, please save me. Immediately there was a commotion, something happened, and a warrior came on a horse out of nowhere, and he was smashing people with his sword. He came to him, and he looked at him, and the man said, my God, Krishna has saved me. And the only thing he knew to do in this situation to compensate this man for saving his life is he pulled immediately the family ring that he had from his grandfather, great-grandfather, was handed down the whole totem pole of the family, and he gave it to this boy. And the man smiled, the young man, beautiful actually, beautiful young man, smiled, he took off. So then, when he came back to Chennai, he threw himself, immediately went into his little temple that he had, his home temple. He threw himself in front of the deity and he said, thank you, Lord, that you saved me. And when he looked up, he saw that Krishna had the ring on his finger.
So that might increase your faith a little bit. Anybody else? The stories are great. Okay, so we have time to go downstairs for this wonderful darshan. Thank you. Hare Krishna.